estado de es no más. We have a few announcements to make. That there's an industrial action in Parliament. And as a result of that, we don't have the support staff, which includes the committee secretary, the content advisor, and the assistant committee secretary. We also do not have the technicians. And as a result of that, we will provide ourselves with alternatives so that we are able to continue with our work. The management of Parliament is engaging with the staff that is on industrial action. The agenda for today are three items. We'll be looking at, we'll be receiving the second quarter performance report. We'll also be looking at the oversight report. And adopt the test. We will also be looking at the third draft of the workshop that we had on access to finance. We will then ask that one of our members perform the reporting of the proceedings. And I will honor the chair.
I volunteer.
Not a train smash. The two of you will do it. We will help each other. Okay, command. Thank you very much for that. And we then have apologies. I have received an apology from Honorable Kruger. We had other commitments. Is there any other apology? Kitchen?
The minister who is abroad, who is part of the delegation that is present on the state visit, and has asked the state visit gone to Switzerland to meet with such as like ILO, etc.
I think two other members missing. Is there any knowledge as to Honorable Kosa, Rabat, and Honorable Nago? Thank you very much. We will then start with the presentation.
Good morning again, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, and Honourable Deputy Minister. We are quite a big team this morning from the side of the department. We brought the acting DDGs, but also the chief directors who is responsible for different program chairpersons, because we found that colleagues, it was important for everybody to experience this forum and the accountability and the rigor of the debate here. Then there are colleagues from CEDA and at CIFA, the CEO of CEDA, the acting CEO, CEO of CIFA, and the acting CEO of CEDA, and their team. They will introduce themselves when they present. I think the quite a few years, so on the individual introductions, and maybe as we ask questions, they respond, they can introduce themselves. I'm also requesting the indulgence of the committee. We provided copies of the presentation. Overnight, I just did a little bit more analysis of the documents and just color-coded the performance just to so that it is clearer for members. So we've given members copies. I think the honourable member came in now, doesn't have a copy. A copy of the new one will come. I just think it will be easier for just the analysis and the debate that follows. And I've also noted, Chair, that the committee program gets to us ahead of time and it doesn't change, and therefore there's no reason for us to bring a different presentation when we come to the committee, and we promise you will desist from doing that. I hope that this analysis of the way we've done it will be helpful to the committee. So Chair, if I go to page 3 of the presentation, the page 2 just speaks about the background or the presentation outline. You've asked us that we should take responsibility for the presentation of the entity, so it presents you with one presentation, but we will start first. The background slide just talks about the policy and the legislative context for this. And I think the important slide for us is slide 4 that tells the story. And it says that as the department has 26 performance indicators and 52 milestones for quarter 2. And we achieved 17 or 54.8% of those targets and underachieved on 45%, 45.2%. So, and we further what we did on this slide is to just break it down. So we have 3 budget programs: administration, cooperative development, and enterprise development and entrepreneurship. And the table there on page 4 tells us how many milestones in each of the branches and where the areas of comfort are and discomfort. And so I think the questions, the tough questions we must then, that we began to ask is, why has certain targets not been achieved? And so I just thought that with a bit of analysis, we'll be able to pinpoint, which often averages masks the detail. Then on page 5, we had on the executive summary, we had separated the, we've just done it a little bit differently, and just, it was, I think, the earlier version which you had, just spoke to the executive summary. We just lifted up for a few of the highlights, and then, and so for example, the one thing that we're quite proud of is the payment of invoices within 30 days, and it reports that we lead by example, and that we actually paid 100% of all the invoices received within the 30 days. And we had targets around supporting cooperatives, and we provide the detail. Again, the target was one cooperative, and we actually supported 5 of them, and that they actually linked to an agriculture value chain in Limpopo. The number of primary cooperatives receiving funding, we had a target of 53, and what the support says is that 80 targets were funded through, cooperative projects were funded through the project incentive scheme, and 50 of them primary and 7 secondary co-ops were trained, and 10 co-ops were assisted with market access.
Yes, we are. We have to account both the reason for the underachievement and for the overachievement, and the in quarter one we underperformed in this area. So in some way the impressive performance in the second quarter was making up for some of the deficits in the first quarter. The informal traders upliftment facility. The target for the year is 1,000, and we for the quarter it's 250, but we in fact trained 620 informal traders. And so immediately I think it begs the question, so what is the value of training? And we were quite encouraged the other day when we received quite an unsolicited letter from an informal trader in Khayelitsha, who just spoke with so much passion about what the training meant for the person. So the first level of the facility program is the training, and the next level is the infrastructure, and I think it's over time that we'll be able to really measure the true impact of that. In terms of underachievements, slide 6, we did not do the consultation process around the business, National Small Business Act review process. I think we had there was some difficulty with the sequencing. The government has introduced a new process called SEAS, the Socioeconomic Impact Assessment System, where in all new policies and legislation are assessed for any policy conflict tensions between existing policies and legislation. And it's a unit that's located in the Department of Planning Performance Monitoring in the Presidency. And we then took this act into that process, but it has spent a bit of time there, and in fact we should have done the first level of public consultation first, because that would have clarified the problem statement. Because the problem statement can't be our perception. The problem statement needs to be informed by the users or the beneficiaries. The number of incubators supported, didn't achieve there. And here's an interesting dynamic, Chair and Honourable Members, because we do the work, but the actual approval, then the fund, and that approval still sits with the DPI. And so I think in the following year, we probably have either taken responsibility for the entire value chain to agree with the approvals for the fund, or we've got to change how we state our target. But we can't state the target, have a target for something, for process that's not fully in our hands. The SMME framework, there was some work that we had to do, and we didn't, and honourable members will know that the co-ops, the formalities around the implementation of the Cooperative Development Act, that it made an unfunded activity. The rollout of the rare case reduction guidelines, we have set a particular target of how many municipalities we would do, and we were not able to do that. And in the vacancy ratio, I think that would be a source of concern. It is 22% against a target of 11%, but in the body of the document, we begin to talk about what we will do about that. Then there is also a summary of the financial expenditure. My colleague will present the detail later on, where we spent 49% of our budget. So we should be around 50% by mid-year, so we're pretty close to that. And we also talk about what the projection and the level of the under-expenditure was, and what the main other 547 million losses was comprised of, transfer payments 8%, compensation of employees 8%, and goods and services at 3%. Move to slide 8, Chairperson. So slide 8 and 9 speaks to administration, the first program. So the first area is on vacancies, and so we expand there to say that we are in the process of filling a number of positions, and we are confident that 17 of the vacancies will be filled in this quarter, and we are putting those procedures in place to meet the other targets by the in the fourth quarter. So, for example, we have agreed, just as a practical thing, all of the adverts need to be prepared within a certain time, and it doesn't make sense to be putting adverts in papers, you know, after the 15th of December, so that we will, the adverts that the position wants to fill in the second quarter will be in the first bulletin in January. Staff turnover rate, we have not, the average in the sector, in the industry, is 12%, and if something must be good, must be happening at other parts, or we only have 2% turnover. People with living with disabilities, we didn't meet the target. During the quarter under review, I think one person makes a huge difference, but one person, a person living with disabilities resigned in the quarter. Women at senior management level, we've exceeded that target, we're at 48%, and we've spoken to the payments already. We've also, on slide 5, those two targets pertain to media, multimedia, on marketing of our services and communications, and in both instances we exceeded our targets. And it's interesting to note that we actually don't have a budget for communications. So some of the marketing gets done via the program, and many of the events where we are able to market our products and services is based on other departments, and beginning to understand other departments, agencies, of their understanding our mandate and inviting us to participate. Then the next set of targets comes to us from the operative chairperson, and I've spoken to target number 1, the number of targets on page slide 10 now, assisted with the targeted interventions. I think in addition to those which we have assisted, we also report that there's also another 8 cooperatives that have been identified to participate in a pilot program by FAB Miller with a Women in Maize program, in 3 programs. And we also were required another target for a milestone, rather, was to develop a report, and they have produced a report on the market value chain analysis. So that is available. It's an effective report. I referred to the incubator program chair that the statement here is that we are struggling to meet the target, which is not in our control, and really I think they can then come back and say, well, why did you set the target on issues that are out of your control? And I think it's also then how we define the measures, the technical system indicator. The consultative engagement around the Act, we have talked to that. We have done some of that work. And then the number of primary cooperatives that were reported, I talked about that highlight against the milestone of 53 that we did well, but that in part was also to compensate for the first quarter underperformance. The slide 14 chair is about potential secondary co-ops, and we say here that we had to do the evaluations of applications and provide technical assistance, that the target was not met. We did some consultation with partner institutions, but we were not able to conclude it. I guess we will always have that sort of staff. That harvest cannot simply be your mate, because our job is to enable those partnerships. If you enable market access, there's a relationship that has to be established. It's around the set of negotiations, etc. Then there was, on the cooperative development framework, it seemed quite like our target was that the targets were that we had to convene a quarterly task team meeting and report on the task team activities. And so one asked, why is it so difficult to convene a task team? But it was done, but a report was produced, a report that needed to serve as the task team. And yes, one also must, this is, in our view, a target that does not belong in the business plan, APP of the department. Surely it is good to talk about having a meeting. Can't be what should be held accountable for up at this level. It's an activity rather than a milestone or the target. The support to startups, we had to ensure that the incentive guidelines that had been developed was approved. It was not concluded. I'm sorry that our report made reference here to CIPA, because almost seems as a blaming action. But the point is, we have not met our target. Target here was identifying and accelerating the packaging of MMEs into franchise. We've done some work on that, but there has been some delays. The colleagues are present here. I see the assurance that we need to be able to give this committee, will the target be met? Will it be met? And then how do you have accountable for that? On the Centers for Entrepreneurship, we have met the targets, and in fact, in the next few weeks, we will be launching one such a center of entrepreneurship in KwaZulu-Natal. The issue of co-location points, that for me is one of the targets that I think should be phrased differently, because believe that it is the agencies, it's the CIPA and CEDA who will be establishing those service centers, will be establishing the co-location points. So I don't think our target should be phrased differently. Our target should be to enable it, to facilitate it, or whatever. But I think eventually we will not be signing the agreements on the co-location, because CIPA and CEDA are both legal bodies on their own that can make those agreements. But I know that one has been part of meetings where and the colleagues from the agency will report on that. Agreements with the provincial and local government structures. We are able to report, Chair, on a number of meetings where we have advocated this infrastructure facility. We have, I think, the proposal that we are making to municipalities, I think it has been discussed in this committee, that many of our informal traders have to trade in almost inhuman circumstances, is that they should be provided with the necessary infrastructure, and that we will provide 50% of the grant to municipalities, the other 50%. So the report generally from my colleagues is that municipalities are very excited about this at the time of the presentation, but they actually haven't taken up on it. So we have to do some analysis of it and say why, what is the problem. Then there was a target on increased number of youth that is funded through the Black Business Supply Development Program. we have not met that target. So it's also a little bit concerning that there are a number of targets. If you look at this page and on the next page here, there are at least three youth-related targets. And the youth is one of our key target groups, but none of the targets in those areas have been met. So what do we need to ask of our targets? Why not? What is going on? And why is it okay not to deliver the targets and the services for such an important constituency? I move to slide 20, Chair. That is around the women entrepreneurs, where we have the double media skills development program. The target was set, and then the training for informal traders. I talked to that one where they exceeded the target. The red tape reduction, I talked to that one, Chair, where we did not met the target. We've developed a monitoring framework. We needed to do an assessment and analysis of the constraints at the provincial level. And what we did was we developed the terms of reference for the study, but the study was not done. So there's a slowness there on that work. And that work is really important because based on that work, we will be able to target our intervention a lot more effectively. The area on sector size, the 50% policies, we had undertaken to do our bit. I mean, we would not, the practice would eventually be issued by Treasury, but we were working together with Treasury and the CTI, and we had thought that at least the practices would be easy in the third quarter, but we have hit a policy or a legal brick wall or an obstacle, because following the public consultations, it was now understood that it would be procedure, I think it's unconstitutional, but the legal opinion is that we cannot do that. So what we have been asking, working with Treasury and encouraging Treasury from a government cluster point of view to present a new draft procurement bill. And so the minister, our minister and the Minister of Finance is also talking about what is possible in the current provision. And what we understand also is that this policy or this principle of local procurement and procurement from small enterprises is an established principle, and that there are many provinces and provincial national departments where they are doing that already. I think one of the provinces that that's quite a bit of success in it is the Free State. So, because we're also saying that a practice mode is not necessarily going to change behavior. The change of behavior is in the attitude and how officials package opportunities to make it possible for small enterprises to participate. So what we are going to do in the next quarter, before the end of the year, January, we want to have an analysis of the actual practice and how far that stands, where the best practices are. Then we also had success, the last target there, in around with craft enterprises. So, Chair, I think what we try to do in this report is really to ask the why questions and for us to be very specific. Has the target been met or has it been met? So I think, often as officials, we're really inclined to use a lot of words and fudge and dance around the issues. Chair, in the Royal Commission, I'm going to ask my colleague, Shomani, who's our acting CFO, to just talk to the financial report.
Okay, thank you, Chair, DG, honourable members. If you can just go through slide 24, which gives a summary of the department expenditure as at the end of the second quarter. Looking at competition, our competition included 44.3 million, which constituted an R expenditure of 22.4%, which is largely due to vacancies, of which we have already traded. And as we speak, Chair, we can confirm that most of these posts have been advertised and more than half of the posts here, which are indicated as vacant, we have already started with the process of the recruitment. Goods and services expenditure of 17.1 million, which constitutes an understanding and under expenditure on the projection of 28.1 million. That is largely due to the cost containment measures that we have implemented in order to save money and prioritize and actually redirect those funding to other areas of priority. Moving down to trust agreements, the expenditure was 485.8 million, which constituted an under expenditure of 6.8%. Slide 25, that is just now the expenditure per program, of which, if we can just look at the variance column, administration, they had a variance percentage of 7.8%, cooperative support and development, they had a variance of 8.3%, enterprise development and entrepreneurship, they had a variance of 8.9%. All in all, the projection as at the end of second quarter, it was 603 million, the expenditure was 547 million, with the variance of 55.3 million, or 9.1%. Okay, this shows that from the budget that was projected for the first and second quarter, our department was able to spend 91% of that budget. Moving to slide number 26, now that just shows a detail of program one, of which the contributing factor for the under expenditure is vacancies. Most of the vacancies which were highlighted there, S36, 32 of them are under administration support services. This is the reason why we are understanding under program one. Okay, slide number 27, it just shows the expenditure per economy certification, of which if we look at the variances, the other compensation of employees as I indicated, it is 15.13%, goods and services 4.9%, machinery and equipment only 1%, the overall result being the projection was 27.1 million and the expenditure was 24.9 million with a variance of 2 million. Cooperative support development, this is one of the programs which has a very thin budget. The total allocated budget to this program is only 15 million. And then at the end of the second quarter, we have projected that we're going to spend 7.9 million, but we're only able to spend 5 million. What we did here was actually, we tried to prioritize funding, most especially on compensation during the adjustment estimate. Some of the funding here has been redirected to program one since we were prioritizing program one, most especially because most of the funding, most of the posts were not funded. So after National Treasury has approved our submission for the adjustment estimates, these figures are going to be revised and the budget allocated for compensation of employees is going to come down from 12 million to probably some around 7.5 million. Moving along to program three, this is where the part of the budget is. At the end of the second quarter, the expenditure was 517 million, or 50.5% of the allocated budget of 1,023,000.9. Sorry about that. Yeah, this is where the bulk of the budget is, and this is primarily because all our transfer payment lines reside in this program. The under expenditure occurred under CIS and DBSDT, primarily because there was a delay in the commencement of the application adjudication process during the period under review. The new adjudication committees for CIS and DBSDT were appointed in June 2015. In July respectively, and since then there have been several adjudication meetings, but unfortunately since then there haven't been any payments made because the process in itself, it takes anything from around 3 months to 12 months before the final payment can be made to the successful applicant. So, Chair, you can expect a significant change at the end of the third quarter, since now most of the payments have been finalized and they are ready for processing. Slide 30 it just shows extensive economic classification of program 3, which I'm not going to go through. Slide 31, that's just the details of all the transfer payments that we have at the department. Of all the transfer payments that we have, all of them were paid as projected, except BSDP and CIS, due to the reasons that are highlighted on the slide above. Going down to my slide, to my last slide, in comparison, when we just presented at the end of the first quarter, we had a balance of 39 cents, of which it was largely due to the non-compliance with some of our entities, and then, you know, most of the transfer payments were not paid. But we managed to solve the issues, and hence now our balance has declined from 29% to 9.1%. We hope to keep on improving with this with the expenditure, and hopefully our target by the end of the quarter three is to be at least somewhere below 5%. Thank you.
Are we going to be receiving the presentation by the entity?
Thank you, Jefferson, DC, Deputy Minister, and members of the committee. I'll start off by giving an overview of some of the notable areas of performance from CIRAS, and then I'll go into more details as per the indicators that are listed in the ATP. In the last time we reported here, we had achieved and exceeded target on 14 indicators. There's been a marked improvement from then to now. Out of the 29 indicators that we track in our APP, we've exceeded and achieved target on 20 of those. The other 9 are work in progress. We're confident that we're able to address those. We were also able to launch and sort of...
Are we in terms of the document?
Slide 34.
Okay.
We were also able to launch and get applications for the National Gazelle Program, launched in September, and then we've closed the application now. And went through the program of selecting the top clients from the program. Also, a board strategy review session in September, and towards the end of September, also launched a manufacturing testing center at our renewable energy business incubator, which is in our center, so looking at LED lights as well as your solar geysers, and so managed to turn that around and establish a manufacturing testing center to test locally produced geysers and LED lights. We've also been, one of the areas that was highlighted the last time was higher than market average vacancy rate. We've been able to reduce that to below 10.5%. It was 9.6 at the end of the quarter, and as a result of that, we were able to catch up on most of the areas of underperformance. Then now going into the more specific areas as per the APT. The first areas really talk to satisfaction and outcomes of the clients that we assist, where performance has sort of stabilized and compared the last quarter to this quarter, where there's about 98% of the clients we assist. Once you go and measure the satisfaction level, the quality, relevance, and speed of support service, about 98% of them indicated a level of satisfaction. And then the ones that we go back and test 6 months after interventions, where we check whether they've increased turnover and also increased number of people employed. About nearly 3/4 of the clients we've assisted have really been able to, post our interventions, been able to increase their turnover, largely in the services sector, because most of the interventions are driven to access new markets. Then in sectors like your construction and your services as well, because of the increased access to markets, clients have been able to employ more people, just over 51% of the clients that we've assisted and gone back to assess 6 months later have indicated an increase in the number of people employed. And then moving on to the next page where we had looked at partnerships around supply development. This is one area where it's really taking us long to finalize, in as much as there are informal relations and we're working with the partners around these areas, especially organizations like Productivity SA and the Supply Development Council. We haven't really been able to finalize the agreement. So we're looking at about two technical agreements and then two of them would be the organization that have access to supply chain. The work is progressing. We are working informally with them. But I believe that's what it helps is if there's a formal contract which would stipulate what is expected of each partner. So that's one area that continues to get attention going forward, hoping to finalize it as quick as possible. Then, despite that, because of the informal partner we are able to work with some of the clients on a supply development, and we've been able to address the performance that occurred in the previous quarter, as well as in clients supported with trade facilitation. This is where we've taken clients to a trade development process, and now they're able to access very much it, whether it's through trade missions or specific targeted countries they want to access. So we're able to assist 53 clients in that regard against a target of 25. Another area where we seem to have challenges around is the whole area of mentorship and coaching, where we also, as much as we try to get clients in that regard, we're not really able to get clients of the level that we can really get mentors to. There's two interventions that we're looking at. One is to really work with CIFA, where the clients that have received funding from CIFA, the post-funding mentorship and support, then CIFA can provide that. So there should play a huge role in addressing this. But also from the Gazelle's application, there will be 200 clients that will be selected to form the Gazelle. The ones that don't make it, we will refer to CIFA, and the mentorship and coaching will become a critical intervention in that regard to help them to prepare for the next application for the Gazelle. So with those two interventions, we should be able to address this. The area of training on national and international standards, especially around ISO, continues to be of high demand, especially from the branches and our incubators. And the target of 160 for the quarter was exceeded. We were able to assist 217 clients. This is one program that we try not to really market that aggressively, but there really is a high demand for SMEs to enter formal supply chains and sort of knowledge and qualifying, having certain standards in place, become a critical component for accessing those supply chains. So it's a program that despite you not aggressively marketing, there's always is a demand for that program. And then on the clients working with, if you recall, in the last quarter on this, the performance was quite, the gap between target and performance was quite huge, and that was attributed to the high vacancy rate amongst the business advisors. We caught up, I think the vacancy is marginally about 30-something or so, on underperformance in that regard, and it's something that we believe will catch up and will normalize during the second half of the year. Other area that we had challenged in is an area that we're checking for the first time, really tracking your high growth, medium-sized enterprises. There is a slide further down the report that gives a provincial spread of these kinds. But this is one area where we have really battled. In as much as Gauteng and Western Cape have come on for this quarter, the two provinces where we're battling in this regard. We hope that the Gazelle clients are there will contribute to this, but also will also go up aggressively market our interventions to your more established businesses, to business associations and business chambers. Then the whole area of clients in the priority sectors. We're looking at trying to mirror the sectoral profile of IPEP and the National Development Plan, which sectors government is prioritizing. This is one area we tracked for the first time. I think that baseline, we hadn't really set baseline in the previous year. We probably thought 40% of our clients should come from those sectors, but what we're seeing is that about 90% of the clients is coming from them. So it's one area that we're going to analyze and really see how within the 90% we can really try and get around, because service seems to be a very big dominant sector, whereas with one manufacturing and agro-processing to feature more prominently in that area. Then the next slide sort of gives a provincial breakdown of the clients working with where Limpopo, Mpumalanga and Gauteng, which are the provinces where there was underperformance in the previous quarter, have really caught up. Western Cape continues to be the key province in this area, largely because of the network that it has in the province. But this work is starting to mirror our resource allocation in terms of branches and human resources per province, as well as the complexities and economic profile of the provinces. But generally, Eastern Cape, Gauteng, and Western Cape tend to be the provinces we get to get most of the clients as an organization. Then the next slide talks to the sectoral profile, where you see that there's a high proportion of clients in your services sector. There's increase slightly on manufacturing and agriculture, but those are the sectors that you're really trying to to boost our clients, our clients in coming up with programs and sort of ways of attracting clients in those areas. But in trying to spread out as much as possible, sectors like ICT still continue to be very low in terms of representation, and even though the incubators are a couple of ICT incubators within the branch network has very low intake. So we try to come up with programs that identify, for example, in Gauteng, we were part of the city of Joburg and the department on an ICT business fair in the city of Joburg. We're trying to get ICT entrepreneurs to access our branches and come through for support, especially around access to market and access to finance. Then on the demographic breakdown of the, this is on slide 41, on the demographic breakdown of the clients, 81% of the clients that we assist are majority black-owned businesses, 49% will be majority female-owned, and 45% are majority youth-owned. Last time we reported another period of disabilities, it was 1%, it's still hovering around 1%. So what is happening as we increasing our number of clients we work with, the proportion of clients with disabilities is also increasing at the same rate. Now we come up with ways of how do we speed up the intake of business that are owned by people with disabilities. We working with the disabled people, DPSA, Disabled People of South Africa, really to try and identify large projects within there with a sizable number of people, rather than approaching, while we can still approach one-on-one people that come from a branch. But we believe targeting a program, for example, on transport is about special entrepreneurs, and between those we'll scale up the numbers. Because also in the past, we largely worked with organizations that had people maybe like only with a deaf disability. We now try with DPS, we can work with the whole spectrum of people with disabilities, and hoping with that partnership, we should at least be able to get to a proportion of clients that match the national demographics of people with disabilities. And then the next slide then gives you the proportion of those high-end or your small and medium enterprises, where again you can see in the first quarter, Eastern Cape, KZN, Mpumalanga, and Northwest were the predominant provinces that gave us performance in this regard. They still have sustained that, but you can see now that Gauteng and Western Cape have come on board in sort of getting a client to that. Obviously, the National Gazelle, once those clients that don't make the top project are referred to the branches for support, it should improve performance in this regard as we prepare them for the next intake. Then in terms of cooperative establishment and supported, performance has been sustained compared to what we did in the first quarter to this quarter. We really, especially on the primary cooperatives, we had a couple of provinces who had vacancies in terms of the staff that were focused and dedicated to cooperatives support and establishment. So once those vacancies have been filled and the staff recruited, but an effort to really catch up with the backlog in those provinces. The result, 111 out of a target of 28 was mobilized, established into formal cooperatives, and now those are then receiving 43 cents. And then from that pool of your primary cooperatives, especially the ones who have assisted in previous years, and those are able to encourage them and sort of get them to form secondary co-ops so that at least they can benefit from that sort of efficiency of 26 against the target of 10. One other area where there's been challenges that we are addressing those, and I'll spend a bit of time on, is the BSD program, which is a program running with JZ and the Department of Higher Education and Training. So the target here was to mobilize and support 1,000 youth-owned enterprises during this current year. At the end of the quarter, we really hadn't started supporting any. We had a workshop with one of the stakeholders, and there's a couple of reasons for that which we tried to address. So firstly, when the program was piloted, there was an incentive given to people during the piloting stage, which sort of changed people's perception of the program. So when you're going back and implementing the program without incentives for people to be part of the program, there was reduced appetite from people that are approached to be part of the program. We didn't really want to go back and use that incentive program because it becomes quite costly. It hasn't been budgeted. So we've gone out rigorously, promoted the program, but it really is, and looked at it getting as many of the 1,000. Currently, we've been able to mobilize 1,100 youth-owned enterprises that are interested in becoming part of the program. I've requested the team to actually increase that to 1,000 in case there's any dropout during the program. At least you can still be within the 1,000. And to keep people within the program, rather than give them incentives up front, we're coming up with a program and saying the ones at graduation that come up with the best business ideas, there's incentives for them at graduation, as opposed to giving people incentives throughout the program. So that's one area. Once you get the 1,000 credits mobilized, probably by the end of this month, the next month we can start giving interventions to them. But also we've agreed to GIZ that rather than do 1,000 every year, if there's an appetite to increase it, let's try to get as many done as quickly as possible, because we might not really be able to give the SMEs the time of support they need, because it is a program with a limited time frame. So we're trying to get as many in now and provide assistance for as long a period as we possibly can around that program. Then the next slide is slide 44, and talks to the partner support that we've received. Again, here we've targeted that we would receive and utilize 33% of funds from partner institutions, mostly from the local and provincial government. We're able to mobilize about 6.1 million rand in commitments from partners, but from accounting can be only realize it once you've actually utilized those funds. So someone commits funds towards the end of the quarter, you can't really come up with programs and the process is internal to utilize those funds. So those funds that are still committed, and I think in the next, in the second half of the year, we'll then utilize those funds. Even funds for the Red Rock program, for example, are spread out throughout the year because they cover the operating costs of those on a Red Rock side. So commitments are there, but we account for those as and when the funds get utilized. Then on page 45, which really talks to a more internally focused performance indicators. I think the first one is, we're explaining the first meeting, is we're trying to allocate as much resources to the provincial network as possible, because that's where service developers can try and minimize what is being done at head office. And I think this quarter is an abnormal performance of 95.58, and the reason for that is we're addressing a historical thing where the old building that we used to head lease on, when we moved to the new building, we still had a lease on the old building, which was then transferred to the DTI, rather than the DTI campus. Now there was furniture that was under finance lease obligation in that building. They were paying for that, but now we actually had to transfer the financial lease cost and the asset to the department. So as a result of reversing that general of about 29.56 million, that's why head office is seen as this high expenditure of 95. So that's why the province is seen at 95.58, because they have reduced expenditure to head office to address that general. Actually, the annual performance was about 82.08, which is what we encourage that more funds are utilized in the provincial network. Then, again, still on the financial performance indicators, we're trying as much as possible to be within the 5% range, as close to zero as possible in terms of spending according to budget. We've reduced from the previous quarter, we were sitting at 16.38, and one of the reasons for this was we're still in protracted negotiations with the union. We've concluded those. So once we take the back pay or the increases, this figure should really drop quite significantly to within or close to the 5%. But it's something that we've consistently tracked and managed to perform against one by the time the year end comes. Then again, the program-related funding allocated to clients, which is all your more high-growth businesses. Again, we're talking about a quarter of our budget should be going to that. The client is sitting at 8%. It sort of correlates to the number of clients able to attract within the system. But at the programs like your Cadillac ones, that also kicks in and the funding is utilized, those clients that come from that pool. We should see the numbers and the proportion of funding going to those clients increasing going forward. And the other indicator that relate to this, I've spoken about the one on the vacancy rate, where we had a target of 12%. If you recall, we had a target, we're coming from a high base of 14%, we're trying to reduce it to 12% this year, and then normalize 10% in your outer years. We've been able to reduce that to about 9.6% for the quarter, and hoping to sort of have it normalized at that rate, because the service organization, people are what you used to deliver. The higher your vacancy rate is, it has an impact on what you're able to deliver. We're able to hold our annual stakeholder forum, and then in terms of research studies on the sector, we're targeted to do one study, and we're able to do that. Then the next indicators, we start from slide 47, really talk to our incubation. These are related to our technology program, our incubation, quality and standards, and our technology transfer incentive. We have committed that by the end of this quarter, we have established at least one incubator to have gone to 49. We're currently still sitting at 48. There's processes that go through it, like the proper due diligence, especially on where there's partners involved in terms of the length of funding from the partners, the market for the product that incubators will produce. So there's been that due diligence done, but we have to date been able to sign off on that incubator, as well as on a couple of rapid incubators which are attached to FET colleges. We're trying to get FET or TVET graduates with the technical skills who through a rapid process will actually acquire some business skills and they can graduate and form their businesses. So with these six, we should be able to achieve the targets and hopefully exceed it, because there's quite a high appetite at TVET colleges for these rapid incubators. Obviously, it depends on budget from our side as well as on their side. Then we're also able during the quarter to do a survey of the actual clients that receive support. So it's the clients that are featured in incubator, getting a sense of the funds that put incubators, what are those funds utilized, are the clients happy with the support they get, access to market, the technical support. And nearly 85% of those against the target of 72 indicated that they were happy with the support received from the incubators. Then on the actual direct number of jobs created, the target there was creating 495 permanent jobs from the clients that sit in this business incubator. And I think because of favorable conditions during the quarter for construction, manufacturing, and agriculture clients, because those incubators will really pick up a lot of the overperformance against target in terms of actual jobs created, we were able to create about 610 jobs from the incubator that we support against the target of 495. Again, also this should be looked at in sort of in line with the life cycle of the incubators, where if clients are towards the second and third year of incubation, that's when the jobs will start coming in and they become more formal and ready to grow as business. Then the next slide sort of gives a sectoral breakdown of where these jobs came from. Again, construction is a major one, agriculture and agro-processing, and then also manufacturing and metals fabrication. So those are the sectors predominantly what one would call low-tech, where not really low in terms of technology that you use, but the job numbers are quite huge. Ones like automotive and high-tech, you find that in terms of job creation, they're quite low, but in terms of the technology and the turnover output, they tend to be high. We're trying to have a balanced portfolio between high-tech and your low-tech clients to really address innovation as well as focus on job creation. And then on the number of clients supported, there was a number of graduations and subsequent intake of new clients by incubators. So the result, which is on page slide 49, as a result, we're able to incubate and assist about, at the end of the quarter, the number of clients that are sitting in the 48 incubators that we support was 2,286 against a target of 1,881. Again, it ties on some clients graduate, but the others that will be recruited also. As they become more efficient, they'll be able to take on more clients, especially the ones in agriculture where there's virtual incubation, where you're able to support more farmers through the same incubator. Then the number of new businesses or SMEs created, which largely talk to your new recruits, about 151, with a target of 82, large again in the sectors of agriculture, where sometimes graduated because of the maturity levels, we're able to sort of bring in new SMEs in those sectors. Tech transfer is one intervention where we continue to, really, from inception, it hadn't really been allocated the right funding. And if you recall, STP's funding is in France, sort of comes from a separate pipeline, which is for incubation, tech transfer, as well as the quality and standard. So the initial funding that the program receives is from that budget line. So it always is, during the year, it is under capitalized, but during the course of the year, as we see savings within certain programs, they're able to allocate more funds. So we've recently done a midterm budget review and we prioritize some funding for the program to really catch up with the backlog. There's quite a high appetite for this program, especially for SMEs that operate just at the level of the formal sector, but need some technologies like up to 600,000 to really be able to be more efficient and reduce wastage in what they produce. So that's one area we've prioritized and allocated funds for the next 6 months, and we should be able to address the backlog of applications in that. Then the next slide is ties with the 2286, looking at how these clients are spread out per sector. Again, here you see that agriculture and agro-processing is the one where most of the incubated clients are sitting, again, because the agriculture incubators are more virtual nature, able to assist more people from this one center, whereas others, especially physical incubations, are able to take on, be constrained by the space that is available. Construction and mining and beneficiation, as well as metal fabrication, then become the other ones that contribute largely to the number of incubated clients. But agriculture is the one where there's a high concentration of clients that you support. Then on conformity assessment and product testing, it's one area where it performed underperformed during the first quarter, and we're really putting efforts setting up the adjudication panels to adjudicate the request for assessment to be done and getting those done. So we've been able to assist 54 against the target of 25, really to catch up with the backlog of the previous quarter. And then the number of clients supported us with systems implementation, we're able to sort of work on the demand that we had from the previous quarters and to improve processes, we're able to assist. This is quite a long and laborious, not laborious, but it's quite a long and complex intervention, but we try to improve efficiency internally and ensure we're able to achieve and exceed targets on this. And then in terms of challenges from outside, which is areas that I've touched on and we are really working on this, on slide 52, I think the first one was identifying the qualified clients on the BFP program. We've been able to identify over 1,100 of those. We're trying to stretch it to 1,300 to ensure that even, you know, surely there are some people fall out, a 30% fall out rate, to be able to get the requisite number of clients that we're targeted. But also going forward is to actually implement the program, continue to not do stop recruitment of the program. We've gone quite a bit in catching up with the clients working with, there's a matter of underperformance, but it still is underperformance. Yeah, this is one of the core indicators on our side. So we're looking at addressing that in the second half of the year. The spending has been touched on, but once you sort of affect the salary increases, now that you've concluded negotiating the labor, that should reduce that within manageable levels. The rather anticipated funds from levels of delivery partners, again here, we try to get partners to commit funds as early as possible during the quarter so that we can utilize the funds during the quarter and not commit funds towards the last 2 weeks of the quarter where they can't really utilize and account for those funds. On incubation support, we haven't established any incubators today, but the process is fairly advanced on the rapid incubator that achieved at colleges, as well as a battery incubator that we look at establishing in battery incubator in Grahamstown. And then there's also the funding constraints for tech transfer, where we've now done the midterm budget review and we have prioritized funds to sort of catch up with our performance. In that, is an overview of CIDA's performance as at the end of September 2015. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Another question?
Thanks, Chair. Just want to note that the carbon dioxide levels in this room are rapidly rising. If you don't open the windows soon, we're all going to go to sleep. So, seeing as I don't think the air conditioning is working, so could we maybe just try and get some air?
Yeah. Can we check if the window is open? If not, we open the door.
Before I hand over to CIFA, so I guess already one can see a question that the committee always asks of us is the level of alignment between national priorities, the departments, and the entities. So it's evident in some of the reporting. I will just draw attention to one, slide 43, CIFA just reported on the program that they're implementing the GIZ agreement. And note that that is actually an agreement that is signed between small business, higher education, and the German institution. So we will perform on the
I'm not going to be able to do that.
Our understanding is that the management of Parliament is engaging with the
Thank you. One point. My laptop really. Yeah.